The Shishak attack. God's word for you, 2 Chronicles 12, 1-6. After Rehoboam established his reign and he had become strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. He came with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen, as well as uncountable troops from Egypt. Libyans, Sukkites, Cushites came with him. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak, and he said to them, "This is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me, so now I have abandoned you to Shishak." Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is righteous." After his power was established, Rehoboam stopped looking to the Lord for help. Our prophet does not place the words into Rehoboam's mouth, but it's easy to hear his words, or at least his thoughts, which turned from "the Lord has strengthened this kingdom" to something like "I have strengthened my kingdom." God had already torn 10/12 of the kingdom from Rehoboam's hands. Now he humbled the king of Judah even further. The fortresses that the king was so proud of were overrun by an army of Egyptians and other Africans that was so vast that after two big estimates, 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, the foot soldiers were just described as uncountable. Ein mispar. They came in Rehoboam's fifth year, 925 BC, and they came as far as Jerusalem. The judgment of the Holy Spirit through the prophet is that Rehoboam was unfaithful and that he abandoned the Lord. Together with the words "he did evil," these are words that will be used again and again with the kings of Judah. Jehoram did evil in the eyes of the Lord. That's 2 Chronicles 21:5. Ahaziah did evil in the eyes of the Lord, 22:4. Joash abandoned the temple of the Lord, 24:18. After Uzziah became powerful, he was unfaithful, 26:16. Ahaz was most unfaithful, 28:19. Manasseh did evil, 33:1. Ammon did evil, 33:21. Jehoiakim did evil, 36:5. Jehoiakim did evil, 36:9. Zedekiah did evil, 36:12. Zedekiah and all the leaders were unfaithful, 36:14. Ugh. About Shishak. Shishak, who is also called Shoshank I, was the first pharaoh of the 22nd dynasty of Egypt. He was a nephew of a previous pharaoh, Osorkon. His reign is estimated to have been from about 943 to 922 BC, which is consistent with the Bible's dates that bookend his reign. Jeroboam fled to Shishak in about 943, and Shishak invaded Judah and Israel in about 925 here. Some of the important campaign victories are carved on the gate of a temple in Karnak, an important royal burial area. The gate is known as the Bubastite Portal. In the inscription, various fortresses of Israel and Judah are mentioned as having been conquered by the pharaoh, including Aijalon and Soko and Ezion-Geber. Now, the plundering of Jerusalem is not mentioned. However, many of the lines in the inscription are no longer legible, and including seven lines of row 4, which is a list of the fortresses of Judah, and another two when that list continues in row 5. Another possibility is that since Shishak did not destroy or occupy Jerusalem, he may well have left it off his list of victories. It's commonly speculated that Shishak may have removed the Ark of the Covenant from Jerusalem at this time. However, it is mentioned after this two times in the Old Testament, once in the days of King Josiah in 2 Chronicles 35:3, and again in the final days of the kingdom before the exile, mentioned in a prophecy in Jeremiah 3:16. The Jews no longer possess the Ark today, but precisely when it was lost, either destroyed or plundered, is not known. It is certainly not in a crate in a warehouse in Nevada. In Rehoboam's case, the king and his princes realized their sin and acknowledged it before the Lord. They even called the Lord's actions righteous and just. The prophet is careful to remember that this was sometimes the case with even the worst of the kings, such as Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33. To repent is to turn back to the Lord God when his law terrifies us, but we remember his promises. Our Lutheran confession summarizes confession and repentance when it says, in order to deliver pious consciences from the labyrinths of the scholastics, we have given repentance two parts, namely contrition and faith. And if someone wants to call fruits worthy of repentance, as in Matthew 3:8, and an improvement on the whole life and character, a third part, we shall not object. But we eliminate from contrition those useless and endless discussions as to when we are sorry because we love God and when we fear punishment. We say that contrition is a genuine terror of a conscience that feels God's wrath against sin and is sorry that it has sinned. This contrition takes place when the Word of God denounces sin. For the sum of the proclamation of the gospel is to denounce sin, to offer the forgiveness of sins and righteousness for Christ's sake, to grant the Holy Spirit and eternal life, and to lead us as regenerate men to do good. That's from the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, Article 12. Praise God when your conscience is bothered by your sins. It means that God has not abandoned you as he abandoned Judah. His law chastises us and wounds us, but his gospel heals all. The Lord binds up the bruises of his people, Isaiah says, and heals the wounds of the afflicted, Isaiah 30:26. And David says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, Psalm 147:3. And Job says, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. Job 5:18. His mercy endures forever. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.